Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome everybody, and thank you for joining us for tonight's show. And tonight's show is titled Self-Expression, and I'm your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. And just want to welcome you for tonight, which is the 1,632nd episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us, whether you're joining us online or you're listening to us via phone. I'd like to thank each and every one of you. And I also thank those that support us by letting their friends and family members know that we're on here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And anytime you want to call in, you can just call in at the number 319-527-6091. And you can hit the number 1 if you want to talk to me at any time. And tonight's title of tonight's show is I'm Still Standing. And I know a lot of you are going through your own personal things. And yes, you know, we're all still standing. We're here still standing, no matter what we went through. But one thing I do want to let you know is before we go any further, I'm going to let you know the scriptures that we're going to be going over. And hopefully you can find those scriptures. In the meantime, I'll go ahead and I'll talk a little bit. But the first scripture that we're going to go over is going to be 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, and then also 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18. And also we're going to be going over Philippians 4, 4, 13. Or if, when we get to that point, we'll go ahead and once you're there, if it's at 13, you're close. So just moving forward, we're all going through things. And the one thing that, you must know that even though we experience troubling times and troubling things that comes our way, and we go through some difficulties, some of us go through great difficulty. But the one thing that we, I want you to know is that, everything has an expiration. You look at your milk carton, that has an expiration. You have your oil that you put in your car, that has a certain shelf life. When you go to the market, certain meats, they have an expiration date. Just about everything has an expiration date. So when you go through troubling times and you're going through times of trouble, that will have an expiration. So you don't have to worry about how long am I going to be going through this. Let me just tell you this. When we go through our trials and tribulations and we go through our tough times, sometimes it is either exercise that we have to go through or it's a term of endurance that we have to go through. And as we go through these terms of endurance, it's also exercising ourselves that when we come and face the same situation again, which many of us will, time and time again, it will be easier for us to deal with. And in a sense, when things come around a second time, you can easily see it and you can know what you got to prepare for and you got a chance to weather that storm because you have an idea of how long it will last, and some of the elements of the things that you would have to deal with when dealing with certain situations. And, in that 2 Corinthians, it was the same issue that Paul had to go through, as being one of the, disciples of Jesus. He was a true missionary where he would go out, and one of the things was he would go and he would address certain churches. Paul went, as far as the church in Antioch and Corinth, and also he visited the Philippians. So Paul was actually a great missionary when he was going out and he was, doing his work and making sure that churches were prepared. And not only the churches, but he was looking at how they treated, you know, their flock. And, you know, one of the things is when you say, when the church is treating people like their actual flock, well, everybody knows that, a good shepherd would take and tend to his flock. And when he would tend and take care of his flock, he would make sure that, like, when some would try to go astray, he would make sure he'll bring them back. He also knew the cries of his flock. He would know if they would be in trouble. So if a wolf was nearby and trying to attack it or snatch it. So, you know, being a good shepherd to your flock was one of the things that the church had to do. And Paul addressed it. He actually, you know, the first and second Corinthians are actually based on letters that Paul wrote to the churches, and how, you know, when he seen certain churches in trouble, that he actually wrote out the letters to the churches to help them get back in line. All right, and so we're going to read our first scripture, and that's going to be 2 Corinthians verses 4 to 10. Okay, so we're going to go ahead in there, and we're going to go ahead and read, and I'm going to start at, just bear with me for a second. Okay, so we're going to be reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, and I am right there, and we're going to start at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels excellently of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And, amen for that word right there. So, you know, basically, as we just, you know, let's, you know, we just absorb what, you know, we just read in this chapter. So, you know, when we can go into verse 7, you know, which is where we have this treasure in earthen vessels, exceedingly of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, and basically he's saying, you know, this is our body. And, you know, what we're producing as far as, you know, some of the milestones that we make, that's not of us. That's of Christ. That's not of us. So basically it's just, you know, setting people straight and saying, hey, you know, don't get big on yourself, okay? You had help doing it. Okay, and so we go to 8. You know, we're in trouble on every side, yet not distressed. So basically, you know, when it says that right there, not distressed, we are perplexed, but not in despair. So, you know, it's basically, you know, where, you know, you're feeling the heat, where it's coming down, where, you know, it's uncomfortable, but you can get by. It's bearable. You know, it's, you know, like say you're in a hot room, you know, it's hot and humid, but it's uncomfortable, but you can deal with it. And so basically it's just letting you know that, hey, you know, in this life right here, you know, you're going to feel, you know, some discomfort. You know, some discomfort is going to be coming from somewhere. You know, don't think that, you know, hey, just because you're a Christian and you're living a Christian life, that, hey, this is going to be a cakewalk and you're not going to be uncomfortable. So it says, yes, you know, we're not in despair. Okay, and so we go to verse 9 where it says, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. You know, and so basically it's also saying that, hey, you know, during the process of whatever you're doing, hey, you know, you might take some scars, you might have some wounds, but you're not going to be destroyed. It's saying, you know, you're you're not, you know, protected where you won't face some kind of harm. And so we go on to 10, where it says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And so basically it's reminding you that, you know, there was a price paid for your salvation, and that Christ did die on the cross. And so, you know, let's not forget that. And so right there, we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump into verses 16, and we're going to read 16 and 18. Okay, and so verse 16 says, for which came we faithful, we faith not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man and renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is best for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and external weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are external. And it's basically saying, you know, hey, we all, you know, have a problem with our eyes. You know, when I say we have a problem with our eyes, I'm not saying that, you know, you have a problem seeing. The problem that you're having is that you don't, you know, you're taking more credibility of what you're seeing than what actually is happening. Some people will look at an object without even feeling it, touching it, or even tasting it, for that matter. And they may say, hey, that's just simply too heavy for me to lift, without even making an attempt. And so what it's saying is, like, you know, make sure you apply your faith to something even before you even, you know, thinking about attempting to try something. Have some faith. And like they say, you know, all it takes is the faith of a mustard seed. But for those that truly are, you know, not aware of, you know, certain situations, whereas though they're not applying faith to a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of things that we apply faith to without any problem. Like we put our faith in airline pilots. You know, we don't even know them. Some of us never even see the pilot. But we, you know, we expect this pilot to fly the plane in a manner in which, you know, we're going to get to point A to point B, and we're going to land with no problems whatsoever. And then there's also, you know, bus drivers. You know, a lot of us that rely on mass transit. You know, the bus drivers, a lot of them, we don't even know who the bus driver is. I mean, sometimes we may catch a certain route and out of habit, you know, we might see, like, the, you know, the bus driver, you know, on a daily basis. But, you know, for the most part, we don't know the bus driver. But yet and still we entrust that, you know, without flaw, that he's going to get us from point A to point B. And, you know, apologies to our Facebook Live audience. Right now I'm experiencing technical difficulties with connectivity. So, you know, as soon as I can, I'll get us back up on, you know, our live video. But for now, we're just going to continue. So, for the most part, we put trust, you know, in things that even though we haven't, you know, we don't even know them or see them, like our car. Sometimes we get in our car, we don't even, you know, check the tires. We don't check, you know, the battery. There's a lot of things that we don't check, you know, before we set out on, you know, our journey. But yet, and still, we expect to be able to make it from point A to point B. And, you know, in order to do that, you know, you have to have faith, whether you knowingly have faith or you don't know. And, you know, it's something that we should need to, you know, apply to our everyday life, is having faith. You know, it's really simple as that, you know, having our faith. and some of the things that we do every day. All right, and so just standing on that. So I'm going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And basically, I'm just going to describe, you know, what's going on. So basically, the instructions that Paul was given, you know, the church of Corinth, and basically, he was just letting them know that, hey, all these letters are written, you know, make sure that you paid attention, because these letters were written, and it's basically for you to have an idea of the, you know, the occasion of, you know, how, you know, to continue on with the church, you know, and basically read God, you know, just read God's book. And so basically I'm going to just break down several things that happened in this portion of 1 Corinthians. All right, so we all know about Paul's travels on his road to Damascus, which is covered in Acts 9, 1 through 18. You know, after his conversion, you know, he went into Arabia, and about 3 years in Arabia, you know, he came back to the city of Damascus and preached of Jesus Christ in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 18. So please, you know, I know I'm moving pretty quickly when I'm naming some of the scriptures, but it's just for you to later on just, you know, look into and reading that. Okay, so all right. So basically, wherever Paul went, his life was pretty much threatened, you know. And so basically, while he was doing his evangelism, you know, he had to escape many different ways. And especially when he was in Damascus, he basically had to flee that city. And basically, they stuffed him in a basket and you know, them over the wall, and basically he wound up in Jerusalem, which is covered in Acts 9:25, and there he preached again of Jesus, but again his life was threatened, and you know, basically he had to get carried, you know, out, and basically he wound up in his home city of Tarsus. And while Paul was in Tarsus, Barnabas was basically sent by the church of Jerusalem down to Antioch, and that's covered in Acts 11, 22 and 24. And while Barnabas was ministering to basically the new Christians of the city of Antioch, you know, basically his work grew so large that he could not pastor any church by himself. So, you know, he went to Tarsus, and that's when he found Paul and brought him back, and they began to, you know, work together preaching in the city of Antioch, and that's covered in Acts 11, verses 25 and 26. Now, while they were basically, you know, working together in Antioch, you know, basically the Holy Spirit said, you know, to them, it says, you guys must separate. So basically Barnabas and Paul, they basically, you know, came to an agreement, and that was covered in Acts 13, 2. So Barnabas and Paul were set aside by the Holy Spirit. They went basically on their first missionary journey, you know, by themselves. And, you know, basically they went through Cyprus, and then they went through some parts of Asia Minor. And also they went through part of the Roman provinces of Galatia and Pygra. And after their first missionary journey, they came back. They both wound up back at Antioch. Now, while Paul was, you know, separated from Barnabas, and he's basically contemplating their second part of their journey, because, you know, it was also commanded by them through the Holy Spirit that they had to separate. Because, you know, one of the things about when you have two good ministers or two good preachers or two good reverends, and they both give, you know, powerful messages, and they go out, you know, one of the things that you notice how, you know, you can get a spinoff church is that when you have, you know, powerful preachers where you can say, hey, you know, we can go off on it on our own, where you can, you know, you can send another pastor or another preacher to, you know, to another, whereas though you don't have to have two in the same place. So basically, Paul was saying, okay, so now that we wind up, you know, back together, and so he was looking at, you know, what's going to be our next mission. And so in Acts 15, 36, and 40, you know, after they visited all the other churches and they had established that they had completed their first missionary journey, and that's covered in Acts 41, Acts 15, verses 41 and 16, verses 6. So he prefers, you know, basically Paul had already had in his mind he was going to go east. And he had gone east, and he would finally have, you know, basically he was going to wind up in India. Doubtlessly, ultimately, he would have basically went to Indonesia and China. And, you know, as we know, you know, Paul was, he took his missionary work seriously, so he was going to go as far and wide as he could. And, you know, as he, you know, went to the east and basically beyond, you know, basically the Holy Spirit forbid him. So he turned and he went back. He went backward. So he went to Mysia, which is covered in Acts 16 and 17. And this time the Holy Spirit was guiding him still. So he came down to all the way to the Aegean Sea. While he was there, you know, he had a vision. And basically in that vision, it said, you know, it basically said to him, it says, come over into Macedonia and help us. And that's covered in Acts 16:9. So the next day, Paul left Asia and he landed in Europe, and, you know, with the gospel, you know, with him spreading the gospel. And basically while he was going from east to west, basically he had a whole flock of followers with him. And, you know, the thing is with, you know, the whole flock of followers following you is that, you know, now that when you're in certain countries or certain province, especially where he was crossing back into the Roman Empire, Paul faced a multitude of dangers where if he continued his actions of spreading the gospel and his way of evangelism, he was in grave danger. And especially in the city of Corinth, where he had basically created, you know, a downtrodden, basically unmotivated church, where he turned it into a miraculously turnaround. So even though God was with him, you know, he made fellowship, you know, with, you know, so many different churches and cities. Well, he started entering basically into, I guess, the territory of Rome, where Claudius Caesar at the time was there, and he was basically set about expelling Paul from part of the Roman region. So basically, Paul's head was pretty much placed on a poster where he was basically wanted dead or alive or out of the province of Rome. So basically, this is the summertime when Paul was, and this is covered in Acts 18, verses 3, that where every rabbi he taught and every Jewish home that he visited, that, you know, he also demanded they be taught a craft or a trade. And now when he did that, not only did he gave them a way of blessing and a way of worship, and he also let them know that, hey, you know, even though, you know, you're covered by God, and he spoke this to the Jews also, he let them know that, hey, you guys, you know, the word alone is not going to carry you. You guys are going to have to develop something. You can't sit in church all day and expect, you know, God to just dispel upon you miracles for no reason. And so basically he let them know, like, hey, you know, you have an opportunity, you know, to take care of your own lands with your own hands. You know, this Roman Empire is not going to go anywhere, but you have to make sure that you're able to self-sustain yourself. So he also told him that, you know, hey, if you know a trade or if you can pick up a trade, and take care of your people. So when he helped, I guess you could say, in a way, liberate the people there, you know, he went back on and he went into Cyprus, you know, where he went and visited the head of the synagogue, and he basically converted them. And that's covered in Acts 18:8. And so basically Paul just came in and, you know, and this is the thing I love about Paul is that he was like, you know, hey, you know, I know the Holy Spirit is guiding me here. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on here. I know what I'm facing. I'm not even out of the Roman Empire right now. But he went there and he preached the gospel of Jesus there in, you know, a Jewish synagogue and converted each and every one of them. In Acts 18, verses 7 and 8. And when Paul was going to leave, he wound up back in Corinth. And basically, God sent an angel, and it appeared to him, and it says, nay, stay, for I have much people in this city. And that's covered in Acts 18:10. So Paul stayed, and he preached in the city of Corinth. And that's also covered in Acts 18:11. And so it was just the boldness of how Paul was, you know, teamed up with the spirit of what God wanted. And even though he was in grave danger, Paul bravely, you know, went and he did. He carried out his missionary mission. It wasn't even a question in his mind. It was that this is what he has to do, and he did it. And I'm just going to, if you excuse me, take a sip of water. And I thank you all so much. And real quickly, just to let you know that we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And anytime we do a live broadcast, you can call in at the number of 319-527-6091. My apologies to my Facebook Live listeners. Sorry, but with, you know, some difficulty I had there with the Facebook Live, the feed had to been cut. So please feel free to listen to me here on Blog Talk. And we're going to go ahead and continue. Okay, so now we're talking about Paul and how he was going in and out of the Roman, basically going in and out. And so we're going to go and we're going to dive in a little bit more about Paul. So, and this is basically covering the letters he wrote to the churches in Corinth. Okay, so basically I want you to get this wonderful idea of how hard and, you know, how difficult it seems. Just reading the scripture is not going to let you paint a good picture of what Paul was really going through and how literally, you know, sometimes he would escape seconds of having his life ended because he was in, at the time, the Roman Empire, where the Roman Empire was the true judge of the people, and they didn't care about the jurisdictions of whatever country they occupied. Basically, how they operated was they're the greatest empire in the world, and they want everybody to know that, hey, if you cross us, you know, that's it. You know, basically, the law of the Roman Empire is if you go against the empire, you're dead. So basically, Paul didn't have the liberty of taking time and planning, you know, where he was going to preach and, you know, where he was going to flee. It just was just the people that listened to him and followed him, they would give him a heads up and say, hey, we got to go. And that's covered in Acts 18, verses 12 and 17. You know, about beyond a year and a half or less than 2 years, Paul felt that his work was finished with him. And when he went down to basically Aquileia in a place called Priscilla in Ephesus, he went to Jerusalem, where he basically went to the church in Jerusalem, and he also went back to Antioch, and he gave great praises of the churches in Corinth. And that's covered in Acts 18, verses 18 and 22. Then he began his third missionary journey, which is covered in Acts 18 and 23. His third missionary journey again went back to the churches of Galatia, where he had first gone on his first journey. So basically he was visiting those churches, and he confirmed, you know, basically that they're still in faith, in faith. And then he went to Ephesus, you know, the capital city of that Roman province in Asia. And it was a while when he was in that city of Ephesus during his third missionary that, you know, he wrote the two letters, the first letter, and then later in Macedonia was when he sent the second letter to the church of Corinth. And that's covered in Acts 18, 23, and Acts 19, 4, and 41. All right, so now basically as when he was sending these letters, I just want to take a look at when he was writing them. Now, you know, after about his end in his end time in Corinth, and he basically went to Ephesus and then to Antioch, and you know, basically on the start of his third leg of his missionary, while he was going from church to church and city to city, and while he was visiting these churches, he came about a preacher, and it was in the city of Ephesus, and his name was Apollos, and I think he wrote the book of Hebrews, if I'm not mistaken. So Apollos was a good orator, and I guess you would say that he was good. He was a good scripture reader. And so when he came there, you know, basically Apollos was a guy that Paul used to announce, you know, his coming in the church around that area. And it was basically Apollos that made it very easy for Paul to move around and also preach and a lot of those churches during his third leg over his third missionary. And so I'm just going to go and I'm going to talk about not so much his third missionary, but about the second time that he sent the letters to the church. And it wasn't about praise. It was letting them know that how during troubled times, how they caved into the Roman Empire, and how they continue to pay taxes, and how they continue to not develop themselves as when he was in the other churches and when he was into the synagogue. And he was letting them know that, hey, listen, you guys can't keep depending on this Roman Empire. Because for one, you know, their reign is you know, it's not everlasting. It's going to be a time when they won't be so controlling, where they won't have total control over you. Where eventually once this empire crumbles, you guys are going to be on your own. There's going to be no more soldiers. There's going to be no more so-called protection. And not only are you not going to be paying taxes, you're just going to have to fend for yourself. And once the people realized that Paul was not only just preaching the gospel, he was letting them know that they had to prepare for a way of life, which was that they're going to eventually be on their own. And no matter what sort of a pressure that's that's in your life right now, that oppression or that oppressor will be replaced by another oppressor, which is, if I'm not mistaken, in history, was eventually the Huns were trying to attack and take over, which they were unsuccessful because they knew that they was avoiding the Roman Empire. Okay, and so this moving along. Okay, so one of the things about, you know, still standing and staying in your faith while facing, you know, adversity, and I'm going to just make an example that two houses were built, identical houses. One was built on a rock and the other was on sand. And both went through a great storm. And once the storm was over, one house was still standing. And so basically, that's what we have to understand is about, we have to make sure that we are standing on good foundation. And one of the ways we can stand on a good foundation is, you know, establishing, you know, a relationship with Christ. And our history has a good way of letting us know that, you know, those that get discouraged when, you know, when you get bad news, you know, and then we get bad news from every now and then. Not to get upset. It's, you know, about hearing bad news, because you're going to eventually hear bad news. And it's like there are times when you're up, you know, enjoy it, but don't get too up. Because, you know, just like every other day, how we have a nice sunny day, eventually it's going to rain. And that's how it is with good times and bad times. You know, we just make sure that you have the, when you have the good times, you enjoy it. But when the bad times come along, just, you know, or just know, like, hey, every day is not going to be sunny. All right? And so at this time, I'm going to go ahead and do the call of salvation, and I'm going to do the announcement, and then we're going to bring it into the show. So if you're out there listening and you haven't established a relationship with Christ, and this is what I've been talking about from the beginning, is once you establish a relationship with Christ, there's a lot of things that you need to know. First, you just have to let him know and express to him in your heart that, you know, he gave up a great sacrifice for us. You know, he gave up his only begotten son to die for our sins. Once you acknowledge that and let him know that, you know, his only begotten son was sacrificed so he can wash away our sins, and you accept him, you know, you're saved. And, you know, the next step you can do is you can tell someone, let them know that, you know, you accepted Christ in your life and that you turned over a new leaf, that you're going on a new venture, that you are reborn. And I suggest that you find a Bible-believing preaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the word of Christ. If you can't find that, that's why we're here almost every night. Because here we have many avenues of ministries that you can listen to almost every day we're able to broadcast. And we just thank you so much. And so I'm going to go into the announcement. This is the Product of Purpose Kingdom Network. And I'd like to let you know that we appreciate your listenership and your support. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we are broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, where you can call in during our live broadcast at the number of 319-527-6091. And anytime you want to speak to the host, you can hit the number 1. And we thank you so much for your support. Okay, and anytime you want to send any correspondence our way, you can send it at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that, and we thank those that share with your friends and family members. Anytime you want to hear any of our past shows, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. You can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience, and we greatly appreciate that. And also, we'll let you know that we do have a radio network at pknradio.com. We can hear 24 hours of musical content, and from time to time we do broadcast some of our past shows. Stay tuned for when radiocode.com is back up, and PKN is still on Radio Crow. We just having some difficulties, but bear with us, and we'll be up and running again. And we thank you so much for those that support us there at RadioCrow.com. We thank you. Okay, and with that, tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour, we're going to have a little talk with Jesus, and that's going to be hosted by Evangelist Trina Lindsay Harrison. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening for a little talk with Jesus, and that's going to be hosted by Evangelist Trina Lindsay Harrison. And please don't miss tomorrow night's show. And don't forget, it's going to be at the 8 p.m. hour, and we thank you so much. All right, with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to close out tonight's show. And I hope anybody was listening, I was able to help them and let them know that, you know, difficult times are, you know, they're going to be there. They're not going to just, you know, disappear with a prayer. And it's going to have to take our due diligence, and it's going to take time for us to, you know, actually learn how to weather the storms that comes our way. You know, and that goes to where I'm going to Philippians. Okay, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, and it's going to be verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. And yes, you know, we can do anything possible. You know, we can overcome obstacles, you know, with Christ in our life. And we just want to make sure that you don't forget that. And another thing that I want to make sure you don't forget is that make sure you have time to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, there's no way you can possibly love anybody else. You know, please just take the time out and care of yourself and, you know, and love one another. You know, Christianity is built on fellowship. And, you know, if we have, you know, unfriendly attitudes towards one another, there's no way we can build the fellowship. And he's going to make sure that, you know, you just keep that in mind, you know, that we do need to build the fellowship. And it's just having that fellowship type mentality. You know, Paul didn't, you know, travel through all these countries and all these cities, all these, and, you know, he even went to a synagogue where he converted the whole synagogue into Christianity. And there's no way he could have done that without having, you know, an ambassador-type attitude during his missionary work. You know, we all are missionaries in a sense. And, you know, if we have that missionary attitude, you know, yes, we can achieve a whole lot. And so with that being said, hey, it's been fun. I love doing this. I love doing this all the time. If you pretty much like, you know, tonight's show, you know, go and visit us there at Blog Talk, and you can revisit this episode or any other episodes that we have here at Purpose Scale Network. Like I said, it's been fun. I love doing this. And, you know, with God's will and God's blessing, you know, I'll be able to do this in 2 weeks. So that'd be the third Saturday. Next Saturday will be an open date, but we'll probably have a rebroadcast. But other than that, you know, with God's will and God's blessing, I will join you in 2 weeks. It's been fun. I've had a blast, and I hope, you know, everybody had a good time. With that being mine, peace, I'm out.
Jesus led.
He raised me,
I will not lose.
He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.